If you want a title for this today, it's Attitude of Gratitude. Attitude of Gratitude. What are some of the things that you're thankful about? What are some of the things I'm thankful about? I'm sure we would all, if we stopped and thought about it, we all have something that we can be thankful to God for. What are you thanking Him for? And how, in this thankfulness, in this thankful heart that we have, how do we express it? How do we express it? How do we express it to God? How do we express thankfulness to each other? You know, thankfulness is something that every Christian should be doing. We know that. And we also know that that is a characteristic of a Christian, is thankfulness. And if you were to turn with me, in fact, let's just turn back here for a minute to the book of Psalms. Because King David certainly had a way with being thankful to God, didn't he? In his words and in his heart. So if we had someone that we could emulate, I would say in a scripture, this might be it here in Psalms chapter 92. It says, verse 1, it is good, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Eternal. And I want to echo that today, that it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Eternal and to sing praises unto your name, O Most High. To show forth your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness at night upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon a harp, and with a solemn sound. And so David, you know, there's lots of these scriptures and psalms where David is just, his heart is full and he's continually expressing to God his gratefulness and those things. Also, if we want to look at another scripture over here in the New Testament, come with me over here to the book of Ephesians. To the 5th chapter, Ephesians chapter 5. With all of the blessings that we have received, with all of the good things that are poured out upon us on a daily basis, I think we can relate to what's said here in verse 19 and 20, where it says in verse 19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Eternal. Now, I had something interesting happen to me this week, an interesting observation. When I was a young man growing up, my mom was always going around humming. She'd have a song, and she's always humming, vocally, all over the time, you know, doing dishes, doing laundry, hanging out clothes, whatever it was, she was always humming. And I appreciate that more because she was always in her heart, she was happy. And she was expressing it. She would hum and she would sing. And she could sing very well and she enjoyed singing. But she had melody in her heart. And I was eating at a restaurant and having breakfast one morning this week, and this young lady is just going around doing the same thing. She's just kind of humming and singing, and she was in a very happy mood. And it was one of those moments of reflection for me. And I thought, how nice that here is somebody that is joyous in their heart, and they're humming, and they're having a good day. And it says, you know, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And how great that is. Giving thanks always. Now, interesting, for all things. We'll talk about that. For all things. Giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, you could put in there, if you wanted another scripture there, Philippians 4, verse 6, which basically says, you know, that everything that we do ought to be with prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving in our hearts. And that we make our requests known unto God. I believe we all have something that we can be thankful for. I think we all have trouble expressing it at times. And I think we all forget. I mean, even if we don't have much as far as material things go, we can be thankful. If we don't, even if we're challenged with health problems, can we be thankful? If we're experiencing, you know, heavy trials, which, you know, we're not guaranteed that we're, we are guaranteed that we are going to have trials in this life. We are guaranteed. But how do we face them? Even in our experiencing of trials, can we be thankful to God for those trials and for the good things that He's doing? Frankly, I believe that everything in our lives flows out of the love that comes our way from God. Everything that happens in our life comes and flows out of the love that comes from God our way. Everything in our lives that is good has been initiated by God. You thought about that? Really, it's true. I mean, He enriches our lives through others. He enriches our lives through His Word and through His comfort. His generosity to us is overwhelming. His blessings are limitless. His love is endless. And no one has favored you and me more than God. We are favored. Isn't that cool? He's removed the stain of sin from our lives by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He's cleansed our iniquities. He's redeemed us. He's justified us. All of God's graces abound toward us, to all of us. And there are so many riches that He's given us. So many answers to prayers that He's granted. So many kindnesses that He's manifested to us. So many mercies that He's extended in times of need. And everything we have has come from Him. And that is the reason why our hearts can be glad and our hearts can be grateful. But unfortunately, we sometimes forget about all the good things that God has done for us and He's promised to us, don't we? I mean, we all, unfortunately, have those moments where we forget, where we might even become ungrateful and unappreciative to God. And the Bible actually warns us about that. It warns us. And it says about the last days, if you want to turn over here just a few more chapters from Ephesians over here to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's just read a little bit about this. 2 Timothy chapter 3. He warns us about this perilous time that is upon us. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, how many of us really believe we live in perilous times? I mean, you know, we live in a land of bounty. We live in the land of unlimitless physical blessings. We're not starving, most of us. None of us in this room. But I mean, do we believe it's perilous times? And if we do believe that, what is perilous about the times that we live in? Well, he goes on to say, for men, he begins to enumerate why this is a perilous time. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Interesting concept. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and looky here, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, and then truce breakers. Now you think about that. I was, you know, contemplating some of these truce breakers. A truce has been established, and you got somebody here who wants to stir something up and break the peace. And these are the perilous situations that are all around us. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And he says, from such turn away. And so here's a long list. And this is what makes the time that we live in a perilous time, is because of these concepts that are around us. And the subject we're talking about today is thankfulness, and being unthankful is one of these perilous mindsets that we can get into if we're not careful. I mean, how many of us agree that we live in a society that is basically unthankful, self-centered? I mean, people don't even acknowledge God anymore, and they don't give Him, you know, the credit He deserves as creator of the universe. People no longer are thankful for the sacrifice of Christ. Becomes less and less that way. and or they feel that they can save themselves. I mean, how many people have you met that they don't follow any kind of a walk? They have got the path figured out. They can figure it out on their own. Well, that's kind of the time we live in. They can save themselves. They can make it on their own terms. And yes, I think thankfulness seems to be a possibility of something that is a thing of the past. And have you noticed that nowadays people don't even practice common courtesies? I mean, what happened to please, thank you, open the door for one another? Standing up for the elderly. I mean, we could go on and list all of these things of respect and, just common courtesies that I find them disappearing from myself. I mean, what's wrong with opening the door for the car door for my wife? Or, just what happened to these things? What's happened? Could it be that somewhere along the way, the world has become full of selfishness and selfish people? And if that's the case, that don't have any manners, have we become a bunch of spoiled children that treat God as though He owes us something? It's a possibility. It's something for us to think about. And our thankfulness to God is something I believe we need to develop on a regular basis, on a daily basis, how we appreciate, how we show our thankfulness and appreciation to God. It says this over here in the, let's go back here to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Because I believe this mindset, this perilous time that we're in, creates wrath from God because people get into these mindsets. It says in verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And, is it possible that God's wrath could come upon us because of some of these things? "Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them." And certainly, none of us, we're all without excuse. We all know. We all know the way that we should conduct ourselves. And it says in verse 20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." And we just have to go out and look around at this unit, at the creation that God has made, and it reveals His magnitude. It shows us about Him and about the magnitude of the things that He does for us. It says, "They're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God," and here's the warning for us, "when they knew God, they did not glorify Him. They glorified Him not as God, and neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." And so I take this, for me personally, this is a warning to me that if I know God and I don't give Him the glory that's due His name, and I don't have richness towards Him, and I'm not thankful to Him for all that He is doing for me and for all of us, then certain things could happen. We could receive some wrath from Him, and we certainly don't want that. So let's look at some Bible verses today concerning this subject of thankfulness. And I want to begin with a concept here. It said, first of all, have you ever noticed that it's usually easier to be thankful when things are going your way? I mean, for the most part, a person usually will say, "Praise God," when things are going well. But the Bible tells us that we're supposed to be thankful to God no matter what our circumstances, even if they become hard and difficult. Over here in 1 Thessalonians, if you'll turn with me to chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I've got some stories I want to read as we explore this part of the subject. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 16, it says, "Rejoice evermore." And are we those that go around with a joyful heart? And your life is the glass half full or half empty? I mean, how do you look at it? Right? I mean, isn't this the question being asked? We're to rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Does that mean we're supposed to give thanks even during trials? I believe we are. Let me read you a couple of things here. Now, I'm going to read these as we go along, some of these stories, some of these quotes, because, you know, really we have been truly blessed. And a lot of times the difficulties that others go through, you know, I haven't experienced this. But here's one that says, "This has been the most difficult year of my life to date. My 16-year-old daughter has suffered through 6 operations and PICC line therapy. We thought that we would lose her, especially when she lost down to 84 pounds. My parents have been my rock all throughout this ordeal, especially my father. He was always there to take care of everyone, especially my disabled mother. 4 days after passing his yearly physical with flying colors, Daddy dropped by the barbershop to visit after taking Heather to therapy, and as he prepared to leave, he had a massive heart attack. 8 days later, he died. As I reeled from this, we had 3 more deaths in the family, back to back. I miss my father terribly, but I give thanks to God for sending the Comforter. If it wasn't for God and His unending love and grace," this is someone in horrible trials, and listen to these wonderful words, "if it wasn't for God and His unending love and grace, I would have lost my mind. Praises to God because all of the 4 we lost were Christian. My uncle, and I don't have that second part of the page, but anyway, we'll stop with that. How about this one? I really felt led to share what happened to me just yesterday and why right now I am so thankful to God just to be alive. I got into my car and left for my boyfriend's house. This is a young lady who's 18. And when I was about 2 miles away from there, there's a couple of really dangerous curves in the road. I had driven that way many times before, but it had rained really bad the night before, and that curve always got very slippery. I wasn't even going very fast, but before I knew it, I was hydroplaning left and right on a 2-way road. I ran off into a very steep ditch and flipped over 1 or 2 times and came very close to hitting the trees. Never before have I been so scared. I had my whole life flash before my eyes in a split second. My car was totaled. I just ended up with a couple of cuts and scrapes on my arms and legs. May it be, many said it was my seatbelt that saved me. But I know that it was the grace of God that I'm still on this earth and able to see and hug my friends and family. I am so thankful for a second chance at life. I really believe God wanted me to realize that. And so, as we contemplate this, can we give God thanks and praise in all things, even in our trials, even in our tests that come our way? Glory to God for all things. I mean, that's what it says, in all things. Why? And how can we do that? Well, the why, because Jesus said that in this world we would have trouble. We're not going to escape it. We're not going to escape trouble. Every one of you in here today could stand up and talk about a trial and a test that you're having. We all have our crosses to bear. We all have our tests that we have to overcome. We're reminded that suffering produces perseverance. We know perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, does it? Paul went on to encourage us all to be thankful, because God makes sure that in all things work together for good to those who love God and keep His commandments. Let's read that. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Come back here to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I know even if we understand this, it doesn't make the tests and the trials any easier, but here is the principle. Verse 28 says, "And we know that all things, that means the good that comes our way, that means the trials, that means the tests that are heavy upon us, all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose." And it's not that all things that happen are good, because they're not, are they, in our lives, but that God can cause good to come out of every situation. And we can praise Him because trials and hardships do not limit His ability to work in our lives. We can praise Him because trials and hardships do not limit His ability to work in our lives. In fact, when we go through these hard times and the hardships, it gives God a chance to do a special work in each of us, in each of our lives. Over here in the book of Psalms, let's read a scripture, talk about that. Psalms chapter 34. As we think about that concept, Psalms chapter 34. God works in special ways when we're going through hardships and through trials. And remember this. Whatever it is that we're going through, it's not going to last forever. It's not going to last forever. And the other aspect of that is, God will never allow us in the trials and tests that we encounter, He will never allow us to be tested above that which we're able to bear. We are able to handle the tests and the trials that He lays upon us. He will never give us anything that is too difficult to handle and to bear. But in Psalms chapter 34, let's read verse 17 and 18. It says in verse 17, it says, "The righteous cry and the Eternal hears." How many times have we gone before God with tears? I mean, the righteous cry, and God hears us. He hears us in our trials. "He delivers them out of all their troubles." And I believe that. I believe God delivers us from all of our troubles, all of our trials. It doesn't mean that He is going to cause us to totally escape it, but He will help us through. He will help us get through whatever it is that we're going through. Verse 18, "The Eternal is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as are of a contrite spirit." You know, we go through a lot of times these heartbreaking situations, and you know, it says He's nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. He hears. He's there to comfort and save us out of those kind of situations. You know, even the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians 12th chapter, Paul had some physical ailments. Now, you know, the Scripture doesn't really tell us exactly. We think maybe it was vision problems, eyesight. Doesn't necessarily, I mean, we think that because of the Scriptures that say, you know, this letter which I've written, you know, talking about large letters. So maybe it was eyesight that was the problem. I don't know, whatever it was. It says in verse 8 of chapter 12, he says, "For this thing," whatever this trial was, whatever this thing was that he had, he says, "For this thing I besought the Eternal thrice, Three times he went to God and said, please remove this from me, and that it might depart from me. And God's answer was, nope, my grace is sufficient. You're going to have to deal with that. My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And our strength, the fiber that makes us stronger, is developed through trials. That which makes us better people is done in the most extreme trials, in the most extreme tests that we face. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glorify in my infirmities. Now, this was Paul's concept. Okay, if that's the case, then pour it on me. I'll glory in these things, because if it makes me better and closer to you, God, then that's great. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities. Wow. I mean, Paul, he was focused. And it's a good lesson for us. It's a good goal to achieve. In necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When we are weak, that's when God can really go to work. That's when He can really go to work. And so when it's saying in 1 Thessalonians 5 there that God wants us to find something to be thankful about, no matter if it's trials or tests or if it's good things, hey, no matter what's going on in our lives, we can be thankful. I mean, we can be thankful in small ways. Let me read a few things. What are you thankful for? What can you be thankful for? What can I be thankful for? Well, here's a few. I'm thankful for the mess to clean up after a party, because it means I've been surrounded by friends. I'm thankful that I pay taxes, because it means I'm employed. I'm thankful that the clothes that I wear fit a little too snug, because it means I have enough to eat. My shadow that watches me work, I'm thankful for that, because it means I'm out in the sunshine. We can thank God for any and everything. And I hope we do, and I wish we would. Small things in our lives. I'm thankful for a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, and gutters that need to be fixed, because it means I have what? A home. All the complaining I hear about our government, I'm thankful for that, because it means we have freedom of speech. We can be thankful we're still living. We can be thankful we live in these United States of America. We can be thankful that we're meeting here today on this Sabbath day in safety. We can be thankful that God is a forgiving God. And we can remember what's said in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians 10. I'm thankful for this. We've already mentioned it in passing, but in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, it says, there is no trial or temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. That means the trial that I go through, I'm not the only one in the world going through it. And I can't say, woe is me. There is no trial that has come upon you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tried above what you are able. Now, I'll relate this story, because a week ago Sunday, my mother-in-law just passed. And we have had her in our care with Alzheimer's now for 11 years. And my wife has been a tremendous caregiver for 11 years, taking care of her mother. I mean, changing diapers, feeding, for the last 3 years, totally bedridden. But you know what? That trial didn't last forever. And it's now over with, and it's now finished. And you know, through 11 years, I never heard any complaining by her about that duty. And I know that God was giving her strength, where it says, "You the who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able." He didn't give her anything she couldn't handle. And He won't give you or me any trial or test that He won't make a way of escape for, in a way that we can handle it, in a way that we can bear it. It says, "But will with the temptation also make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved," He says, "flee from idolatry. I speak to you as wise man. Judge you what I say." I believe we can be thankful that God will not put trials on us heavier than we can bear. But you know, maybe that isn't our problem. Maybe this isn't our problem. Maybe it's when things are going really good that we forget God. Maybe it's that side of the coin. Maybe it's that side of the coin. Maybe, you know, how do we act once God answers our prayers? How do we act when God intervenes for us? What are we going to do then? Are we going to forget that God was always there for us during the trials? Are we going to forget, or will we walk away from Him without a word of thanks? We have a reminder. God reminded the children of Israel about this back here in the book of Deuteronomy. We'll look at a couple of places. We'll go to Deuteronomy 6 first, and then we'll go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. But God reminds the children of Israel not to forget Him. Beginning in verse 10, it says, "And it shall be, when the Eternal your God shall have brought you into the land which He sware unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you great and goodly cities, which you builded not, and houses full of good things, which you filled not, and wells digged, which you didn't dig, vineyards and olive trees, that which you did not plant. And when you shall have eaten and be full, then beware, beware, lest you forget the Eternal, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Eternal your God and serve Him and swear by His name." But He told them to beware, not to forget Him. And that to beware when things are going well and things are plenteous and bountiful, don't forget me. Don't forget me. In chapter 8, beginning in verse 7, He says, "For the Eternal your God brings you forth into a good land." You know, and if you want to take this as an analogy of our life today, you could ask yourself, you know, what good things has God given me? I mean, do we live in a goodly land? Do we live in a land of bounty? What good things is God doing for us? "For the Eternal your God brings you forth into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valley and the hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees." Back a few years ago, when I was doing a over-the-road hauling, I made a run from Fort Worth. I picked up a harvester and hauled it up to Willett, North Dakota, which is on the northwest side. And I dropped that off, and I had to go over to the center of the state to Rugby and pick up a bed of a dump truck and bring it back down to Lincoln, Nebraska. So I get loaded, and I come down, and I decided not to go over further east and go down the interstate. I said, well, here was, I think it was Highway 84, 87, 89, I don't remember, but it went through like three states. It was just like straight shot. Well, this was in October, right in the middle of harvest. And for three states, I was in awe at the wheat and the barley and the corn and all of the bounty that this nation has. And, you know, and all the grain elevators were busy and, you know, I'm going 20 miles an hour following tractors and, you know, that was a little frustrating. But I was just overwhelmed and thankful to God because of the bounty that we have in this nation. You know, and God told the children of Israel, hey, I'm bringing you into a land wherein you shall eat bread without scarceness and you shall not lack anything. Hey, we're there. Is there anything we lack? I mean, we have electricity. They didn't even have that. It would have been a cold night last night without, I mean, if we had to live just by the wood stove, you know, I mean, in the house. So, you know, we have so many conveniences, so much, we're given so much. And I believe that we have all of the bounty and the beauty and the greatness in this land because of the promise that God made to Abraham, that we are still reaping those blessings and those benefits. But he says, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall, what? Then you shall bless the Eternal your God for the good land which he has given you. And I believe we need to take pause often to thank God and to thank him for all of the things that he gives us, and even to thank him during the trials and tests. But he says, you know, verse 11, beware that you forget not the Eternal your God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I commanded you this day. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and you have built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and the silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Eternal your God. And that is like us to do. It is like us to be that way. But we have to remember, he is the God which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And look where he has brought us and led us with his truth, with his love, with his concepts that are instilled and being instilled in us right now. He has and is leading us and taking care of us. One other scripture here. Let's go over here to Luke chapter 17. Because we have here the story in Luke chapter 17 of Jesus performing a healing. And it's the healing of the 10 lepers. Let's just read this story and let's see where are we in this story? Where could we be? Where would we be? Where should we be? Because it says, beginning in verse 11, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now, the custom for lepers was they were restricted by law and could not, they had a distance they had to keep, you know, away from everybody. So their way of communicating with him is they're yelling, hey, Jesus, have mercy on us. From a distance, they lifted up their voices and said, Master, have mercy on us. You know, put yourself in their position, being leprous. Unclean. You can't go home. You have to live in a certain restricted area, away from family. Boy, that's pretty bad. Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And he had compassion. And it came to pass that as they went, they didn't even make it to the priest. They were healed. He told them to go. And as they are on their way, they were healed. They were cleansed. And then verse 15 says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God." What? You mean only one? Only one went back? One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed?" Jesus knew, he remembered. I'm sure he counted. "But where are the 9? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise and go your way. Your faith has made you whole." What about us? What about us? When we receive blessings or healings and answers to prayer, are we like, or like the, where do we fit? Are we like the 9 or are we like the 1? Do we say thank you? You know, God doesn't want us to say thank you and show our appreciation just because he's on some kind of an ego trip. God isn't on ego trips. But he does know that if we are thankful and if we show our thankfulness, he knows that will keep us close to him. And there are stories in the Bible, story after story, of people who had reasons to be thankful to God, who some of them remained thankful and walked with God, and God used them for great things. And there are others who were not thankful to God, and they ended up missing out on what God had in store for them. But the attitude of gratitude is important for several reasons. Because, number one, thankfulness acknowledges that God is our provider. The attitude of gratitude is important because, number one, it shows that thankfulness acknowledges that God is our provider. Secondly, thankfulness prevents a complaining spirit. Because how can you be complaining when you're thankful? And you just can't do it. You can't bring those thoughts together. Either you're complaining or you're thankful. They can't be together. And thankfulness prevents a complaining spirit. Thankfulness also creates a positive outlook, because we know God is with us. I mean, you know, is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? And thankfulness invites joy to dwell in our hearts and in our lives. What if we all could develop an attitude like King David? You have an assignment, if you want. Go through the Psalms, and you can do this with a concordance, and just go through the scriptures of David showing his appreciation and thankfulness to God. We'll turn to one over here in Psalms chapter 30. We read one earlier, Psalms 92 or 95, but let's look at Psalms 30, a couple of verses. David says this in verse 10, he says of Psalms 30, he says, "Hear, O Eternal, and have mercy upon me. Eternal, be you my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing." How many of you like to dance? I do. I love dancing. David did too. Got him in trouble with his wife, but... "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing, and you have put off my sackcloth, and you have girded me with gladness." David was telling God, "Thank you. Thank you. You've turned this trial and you've gotten rid of it. Hey, it's over with. I can be joyful now. I'm dancing. I'm happy. You've girded me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praises unto you and not be silent." The worst thing we can do in the world is be silent to God for all of the things he does for us. We can't be silent. Oh, eternal my God, I will give thanks unto you forever. You can read Revelation chapter 4, where you have all the angels and the 24 elders and how they are falling before God, casting down their thrones and praising. You can read about the 144,000 who sing a new song unto God. Praise will be forever. Thankfulness will be forever. It is good for us to learn now to be thankful and to praise God. We can thank Him today for lots of things. We can thank Him that He has formed us, made us, that He's given us breath of life, that He's given us this day, this Sabbath day, and this day. We can be thankful to Him that He's working in each of us to become all that He intends us to be. He's working in you, He's working in me, because He has a plan for us. He wants us to achieve all that He intends for us. He's working everything in our lives together for good, even if it's through trials. He's using our difficulties and our trials to conform us to His image. We can thank Him today with words of exaltation, with songs of celebration, a heart of strong devotion, thoughts of deep reflection, and acts of admiration. I'm thankful for the space I find at the far end of the parking lot because it means I'm capable of walking. I'm thankful that my huge heating bill because it means I'm warm. I'm thankful for the lady behind me in the church who sings off key because it means I can hear. See, there's so much we can be thankful for in so many ways. The piles of laundry and ironing because it means we have clothes to wear. I believe we all could sit down. If we started talking about, tell me what you're thankful about, I bet it'd take a long time for each of us to complete that, wouldn't it? Of all the things, great, large, and small. Well, I have to ask, have we made and will we make thankfulness to God a daily part of our lives? That's the whole reason for my message today. Can we and will we make our thankfulness and appreciation to God a daily part of our lives? I hope we will. And let's close with this scripture over here in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. God who blesses us so much, gives us so many good things, says this in verse 15 and verse 16. It says, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. Let's not forget to communicate. Let's talk to God. Why? For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased.